Well said. Good morning. Let's begin. We're going to go a little bit quickly today because I know that there are those here who have to daven at the 9 o'clock minyan. So we're going to go. A little bit of an accelerated pace. So we're going to pick up. Last two lines of Zayin Amud Beis. Today's daf is Ches. So we're picking up last two lines of Zayin Amud Beis. Va'amr Ula Matam. So Ula says again. Remember, we'll say we're still focused over here on trying to understand the notion of why we need the Gzeirah Shava of Aleha Aleha. So Ula says, Amar Ula Matam, Hoil v'Hotel Atzaraso, Hotel Akario. So remember again, the Gemara was dealing with the interesting situation if you had a Metzora, ultimately again, who was on his eighth day and ready to go ahead and come into the Beis HaMikdash, and then had a seminal emission, that the halacha was that because he was mutter to come in as a result of his tzaras, he was mutter to come in as a result of his carry, of his seminal emission as well, even though he was a Tevul Yom. So the Gemara says, "Mi dami, how can you compare this? Mi dami lula, tenach tap of ches, tenach hacha din nasa meis va'achakach nasa chai." So you could compare the case of Yibum to the case of Tsara'as and Keri in the following situation, where let's say the deceased brother married his wife, and then afterwards the living brother married his wife. Remember, they're sisters. Demigo, the ishtari isra ishas ach, ishtari nami isra achas isha. Because I understand in that case, once the brother dies and the license to marry one's sister-in-law kicks into effect, then I also understand that perhaps we could say that he is released from the isser of achos ishto, that he is released from the isser ultimately again of his wife's sister. Ela nosa chai va'achar kach nosa meis. But if the living brother, meaning the brother who is living now, married his wife first, so mostly what that means is that the isser of achos ishto really set in prior to the isser of eshes ach, then isser achos isha kadim va'afilu nos. So I'm sorry. Then isser achos isha kadim. Then the isser ultimately again of achos ishto of his wife's sister preceded the isser of eshes achiv. Va'filu nasa meis nami. And the truth is, even in the case where the now deceased brother married his wife first, tenach hecha dinasa meis dinasa meis umeis va'achakach nasa chai. So it only makes sense if the now deceased brother married his wife first and then he died, and then only afterwards did the living brother marry his wife. Techazle beni meir. Because let's listen to this case, Reuven and Shimon. So if Reuven went ahead and married his wife first. And then, so remember again, his wife now becomes usher to his brother, Shimon. It is the wife of his brother. If Reuven now dies, and only afterwards does Shimon go ahead and marry his wife, who happens to be the sister of his sister-in-law, the sister of his now deceased brother's wife. So I understand why perhaps Yibum might be permitted in that case, Warabosai. Because remember, at the time when Reuven died, technically speaking, yeah, we'll say, I think that's, is that the wind tunnel?
Yeah.
That might be the wind tunnel over here, right? I apologize. So the polar vortex, runs across that wall.
The Gemara vortex.
Yeah, we could do two to a seat if that's easier. I might perhaps. I'm gonna keep my own seat. Everyone else should feel free to double up. So the Gemara is suggesting if now the deceased brother died before the living brother Erev married his wife. So when the deceased brother died, there was the permission for Yibum with the sister-in-law, and then when the living brother then subsequently goes in and marries his wife, who happens to be the sister of his sister-in-law, perhaps one could say that lemaisa, there should be permissibility for Yibum, because at the end of the day, there was that window where Yibum could have been performed.
How could he marry the sister of Yibum? The Yibum falls on him first.
Say, before he did Yibum, he married this girl. So we'll discuss that. Meaning, should he be permitted to... Oh, so we're going to discuss that. Why is he permitted to marry the sister of the Yavama? Good. Baruch Shekivan, we're going to get to that. Right, I'm sorry?
Does he have to get a get?
Hold on.
For the sister. For his first wife.
No. He died.
Okay, but the...
He died, right? The brother died. There's no get here because no one's getting divorced. There's only an issue over here of who's getting married. although we'll talk about Gittin a little bit. So the Gemara says the following: Ela nosa meis velo meis, va'achar kach nosa chai. But again, I will say, if you have a case where the now deceased brother got married, and then he did not yet die before his living brother married his wife, meaning, so now the two brothers are married to two sisters, at that point in time, lo ichaz yilei klal. Then I will say, at the end of the day, lemaisa, when the brother dies, when Reuven dies, so there was never a period in which, again, the now living brother would have been permitted to do Yibum, because pretty much the entire time, again, he's been married to the Yavama's sister. To which the Gemara says, Mila modi Ula, would Ula not agree in the following case? She'imra'a keri balel shmini. The Rabbos say, if the Mansorah had the seminal emission on the eighth night means, again, before the eighth day. So remember, the eighth night is before the eighth day, i.e. before it became absolutely dar. She'ein machnis yadov lebonos, that he would not be able to go out on the blood applications, literally on his palms, on his thumbs, or on his toes. Shelo yotza b'shash hiru'iyah lahaviba karban. Because we'll say, even Ula, who says that l'maisa, we could suspend the laws of Tevul Yom, only says that when the tzara'as issue has been totally taken care of. But if the tzara'as issue was not totally taken care of, i.e. again, he has a seminal emission on the night of the, on the eighth night, before Tara was complete, even Ula would agree that he cannot come into the base of the Shura's blood applications. Ela ki itzirich aleha. So when do we need the gzeirah shavah v'aleha? Heich, we'll say to this case, heicha dinasa meis u'meis. So we'll say now we come to a, well, it's not a bottom line, because we're gonna reverse it in just a moment. But for now, the Gemara says, the bottom line is like this. You know what the case, the gzeirah shavah of v'aleha, is important in the following situation. Heicha dinasa meis u'meis v'achar kach nasa chai. We'll say, you know where it comes up in the following case. Reuven married his wife, and then what? And then he died. So there's a Yibum situation. Shimon then went ahead and married another woman who happens to be the sister of the Yavama. I would have thought that what? That in that case, Shimon should be able to do Yibum with his deceased brother's wife, even though what? Even though she is the sister of his current wife. Why? Because there was a window in which Yibum would have been permitted. So meaning what the Gemara's Havamina is, I would have thought that as long as you had a window in which Yibum could be performed, even if now circumstances change, which created an erva situation, Yibum should still be performed. Therefore, what the Gemara says, therefore the Torah says, Gzir Shava of Aleha Aleha, which teaches us that no, whenever there is an erva situation, you cannot do Yibum. So the Gemara says the following. The Ibaisim, another possibility is, Asya be'akeish shemid Rabbi Yonah. You can learn this out from the Hekesh from Rabbi Yonah. What does Rabbi Yonah say? Dama Rabbi Yonah, v'itim Rav Huna b'reid Rabbi Yoshua makra, ki kol asher ya'aseh, mikol ha'tovos ha'ila. So the Torah says again, from anything that is done, from all of these abominations, right? This is talking about by the laws of Arayis, by the laws of immorality, v'nichrisu, they'll suffer karis, hukshu, kol ha'arayos kulon la'ishas ach. Now, say the Gemara says, all of the arayos, all of the immoral relationships are compared to a brother's wife. Now, I will say, what does that mean, they're all compared to a brother's wife? It's not just all compared to a brother's wife. In fact, all of the forbidden relationships are actually all compared to each other. Because again, the fact that the Torah lumps all of them together with this phrase, ki kala sheri aseh mikala tova yisaela, means that they are all equal to one another, which essentially means they're all compared to one another. So all the arayos are compared to eshesach, ma eshesach sharia, af kala arayos nami sharion. So I would have said like this, just like it is permitted to marry my brother's wife, when? In a yibum situation, so too perhaps what? All the laws of arayos should be suspended when? For Yibum. I mean, I both say, the whole notion of Yibum is that Yibum is a marriage that suspends the laws, of the normative laws of Erva. So all the Gemara is saying is, once you're lumping them all together, I would say just as Yibum is allowed in the case of Eshesach, so too Yibum is allowed no matter what the Erva circumstance may be. Therefore, because of Rachmona Aleha, therefore the Dora goes and makes Gzeir Shava of Aleha Aleha to teach us what? That Lemaisa, again, Lemaisa, the only time that the erva is permitted is when it's a brother's wife, but any other erva would essentially preclude yibum from occurring. Amar li Ravach midifti Ravina. So Ravach midifti said to Ravina, Michti kol arayos ika la'akushinu la'eshesach v'ika la'akushinu la'achosisha. Now I will say, now once you're lumping all of the arayos together, the same way in which you could go ahead and compare all arayos to eshesach, you could also go ahead and what? Compare all arayos to achos isha. My chaz, and Rabbi say, remember, if you compare it to Eish Hasach, then the only time that Yibum is permitted is when the only arayas issue is Eish Hasach. But any other arayas issue will prevent Yibum from occurring. But I could just as easily compare it to Achos Ishto, to a wife's sister, and to what? And to say that Yibum should be permitted no matter what the erva circumstance. My chaz is the Akshus La Achos Isha. Why is it that you compare it to the case of Achos Ishta? Akshinu le'esh asach. Excuse me. Machaz is the Akshus La Achos Isha. Akshinu le'esh asach. Ibai seima l'kula v'chumra. L'chumra makshinon. So we'll say again, to which the Gemara answers, well, if you have two opportunities, two comparisons, and one yields a kula, one goes l'chumra, so we'd rather, if there's a case of doubt, go l'chumra. Ibai, same with the other possibility is what? Hacha tre isure, vahacha tre isure, utre mitre yalfinon. So aval hacha chad isura, vutre mechad lo yalfinon. So let's take a quick look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, where was this Rashi? I'm sorry. Vibaisema. No. Okay, fine. I don't know. I thought there was a Rashi there. I could be wrong. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's in the middle of Vibaisema. I'm sorry. It's in the middle of Rashi Vibaisema. Rashi says over here, Havamina hukshu kol kulon the ishasach, va'afa gab the hacha chadisura, va'hacha treisurin, ein mashivin alahechesh, lahaki itzdurachala. So mostly the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Lemaisa, by the case of Achos Ishto, so you're dealing with two Isurim, right? You're dealing with the Isur of Eishas Ach, and you're dealing with the Isur of Achos Ishto. So therefore, better to compare a case of two Isurim to a case of two Isurim, and not a case of one Isur to a case of two Isurim. Rava Amar, Rava says, Erva lo tzricha krap. Rava says the truth is not about saying now. So based on what we just learned now, Lemaisa again, the Xerushava of Allah is necessary to teach us the following. Since all our rayos are grouped together into one unit, so I would have thought that the same way that Yibum goes ahead and permits the Isser of Eishas Ach, it also goes ahead and what? It also goes ahead and permits any other Erva situation in the case of Yibum. Therefore, Gzirushava of Allah says no, that it only permits Eishas Ach, does not permit the other Arayos. Comes along Rava, and Rava says no. Amar Rava, Rava Amar, Erva lo tzricha kra. In reality, you don't need a pasuk, you don't need a Gzirushava to teach you that Yibum, that Yibum does not apply in a case of Arayos. Why not? De'in asei dochelos asei sheyesh bokaris. Because Rava, Rava says, remember, because an asei, a positive commandment, cannot set aside a los asei that has with it a penalty of kares. So obviously, again, also, you have an assay. You have an assay of Yibum. So that assay of Yibum will not be docha lo sasay ultimately of what? Of Achos Ishto. I will say, so I, why don't you say that about Ishas Ach also? To which the answer is, because Lamaisa, that's what the Torah says. Because the Torah itself says that you do Yibum with your brother's wife. So therefore, the license to go ahead and do Yibum only applies to the biblically explicit case. But any other case, Yibum will not apply. Why? Because the assay of Yibum cannot be docha the los assay of Erva that carries to the penalty of Karis. Aye, so if that's the case, why do you need Aleha? Ki itzrich kra lemesar tzara. Oh, because we'll say, what does Aleha teach you? Aleha teaches you that what? That the co-wife of an Erva is also excluded from Yibum. Mm. That it's not just, so for the Erva herself, we don't need a pasuk. That's obvious, because Asei is not Tocha Los Asei, Sheyesh Bakaris. When do I need the pasuk? To exclude the co-wife of the Erva. Ve'erva lo tzvicha kra, is that true? An Erva doesn't need a pasuk. Va'atanya, but we learned, Ein li Elohi. Ein la Elohi mishum tzarasa. So the Gemara says, Ein li Elohi mishum tzarasa v'hakatani. Ein li Elohein mishum tzarasehen. So I'll say, interesting enough, the Gemara says, quote, bless you, quoting over here the Braisa, look at Rashi, mishum tzarasa, mishum debay, excuse me, let me read that differently. V'hatanya, Ein li Elohi. But yet, again, we learned in the Braisa that the prohibition comes to exclude the Erva herself. Which seems to indicate that we do need a pasuk to teach us to exclude the erva. To which the Gemara says, no, mishum tzarasa. In reality, that wasn't stated because of the erva herself, bread was only stated because of the tzara. V'hakatani ein li elohein. Aye, but we also learned in the Mishnah that we're only coming to exclude these 15 women, to which the Gemara answers, no, mishum tzara sehen. The ikar limud rabose wasn't really about the erva herself, but really was about who? Was about the co-wives. Tashma, Rebbe of Rabosei, in Rava's model right now, aleha, aleha, is not necessary to teach me that an erva is excluded from Yibum, because that's obvious. Why? Because an asay cannot be dochalos asay shiesh bakaris. So why do I need aleha? Aleha teaches me about the co-wives, that the co-wives of an erva are excluded from Yibum. So Tashma, Rebbe Yom Rebbe says, v'lokach v'lokcha v'yibim v'yavam v'yibma. Supposedly what he's talking about over here is the following, that the Torah uses interesting lashonos over here. The Torah says, Yavamo yavo aleha ulikacha lo liisha v'yibma. So instead of saying v'lokach, it says v'lokcha, and instead of saying v'yavam, it says v'yibma. Now, these are elongated ways of saying this word. Why does the Torah need to state it this way? To which the Gemara says, Le'esor tsaros v'arayos. It comes, the protractor, the elongated form of this word, comes to go ahead and what? Comes to go ahead and aser tsaros and the arayos. So ve'ema le'esor tsaros shava. So both sides. So what do you see from here? So what you see from that statement of Rebbe is that you do need the pasuk not only to exclude tsaros, but you need the pasuk to exclude arayos as well, which contradicts what Rava said, because Rava says, I don't need a pasuk to exclude arayos. That's obvious. But you see, Rebbe does require it, to which the Gemara says you have to amend the wording. Ema le'esor tsaros shel arayos. No, don't read it as if Rebbe is saying to exclude the arayos. Rather, what is Rebbe saying? To exclude the tsaros of the arayos. Aye, v'hot shrei kroi kanosivle. But there are two psukim, or literally two words that he's bringing over here. My love, chad le'erva v'chad le'tsara. Is it not that one word is coming to exclude erva, one word is coming to exclude tsara? Lo, idi v'idi le'tsara. Both are coming to exclude tsara, or both are coming to speak about tsara. Chad le'meisar tsara b'makom mitzvah. Say one word comes to teaching that what? That the tzara of an erva is prohibited in Yibum, just like the erva herself. And the other pasuk comes to teaching, or the other word comes to teaching that what? That shlo b'makom mitzvah, in a non-Yibum situation, the tzara of an erva is permitted. Rabbosai, remember that we had this case on Daf Beis. This case over here is like for the following situation. Let's say again, Reuven and Shimon are brothers, and Shimon marries Reuven's daughter. And Shimon also has another wife. Shimon then divorces wife number two. Wife number two, not Reuven's daughter, wife number two. Reuven is permitted to marry let's say even better. Let's say Reuven dies, but he has children. There's no Yibum. Shimon dies. So Reuven is permitted to marry his sister-in-law, who is also the co-wife of his daughter. Because the only time that a co-wife, that a tzara becomes prohibited is when? Is in a Yibum situation. But in a non-Yibum situation, a co-wife, a tzara, is permitted. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting over here that both words, lakach or lakcha and yibma, are both talking about tzaros. One is to come to exclude the tzara in a case of Yibum, and one is coming to say that the tzara is not permitted, shelo b'makom mitzvah.
In that case, did Reuven's daughter have children?
Let's say it doesn't matter. It's just who cares? I mean, you can make up whatever case you want. It's just a non-Yibum situation. That's what it means. Correct. That's what it means. Shalom b'malkom mitzvah. There's no Yibum. There's no Yibum in that case. So when there's no Yibum, a co-wife is not prohibited because of the erva status of wife number one. That's and again, the truth is that's not a novelty. We saw it already on Daf Beis. So on Daf Beis already. So Gemara says, my time, huh? What's the reason for that? The Yavam v'Yibma b'Makom Yibum Huda Asira Tzara Shlo b'Makom Yibum Shari Tzara. Why is Rabbi saying? Because again, a tzara only prohibits her co-wife in a situation of Yibum, but in a non-situation of Yibum, Shlo b'Makom Mitzvah, ultimately the co-wife is not prohibited. Amar Ravashi Masnisin Amideka. The truth is, our Mishnah even teaches this point. Diktani Chamesh Esrei Nashim Pochol Tzara Seyem. Because what did our Mishnah say? 15 women exempt their co-wives from Yibum. V'ilu pituros upotros lokaten. Well, I'll say, interestingly enough, what doesn't the Mishnah say? The Mishnah doesn't say that 15 women themselves are exempt and exempt others. Instead, it says 15 women exempt others. Shema mina. Learn out from this, what Rabbi says. So learn out from this that the Ikra Limud is not about the Erva herself. Because the fact that an Erva can't engage in Yibum, that's obvious. Because an Aseh of Yibum cannot be docha lo sa'aseh that has kares with it. So all of the drush, all the psukim are there for what purpose? Are there to go ahead and aser the tzara of the Erva, but dafka when, b'makom, it's in a Yibum context. But in a non-Yibum context, the tzara of an Erva will be permitted. So why is it that the erva herself does not need a pasuk? Because we'll say why? Because an asay of yibum is not dochalos asay, meaning a prohibition of arayas that has karis with it. So I shouldn't need a pasuk for the tzara either. Why? Because we'll say at the end of the day again, a tzara should be prohibited for the same reason. Look at Rashi. Tzara nami lo tiboy ale akra l'drasha de'ein asei doch alos asei sheish bakaris t'chsev litzror. Now, Bosai, do you remember this drasha? Litzror. What is litzror? Litzror teaches us that, remember, again, that there is a bond between the co-wives. And so whatever the status of one wife, by definition is what? Is the status of all of the others. Therefore, by definition, I shouldn't require an extra pasuk for the tzara either. She's whatever the plight of the Yavama Erva, of the Erva, is the plight of the tzara as well. To which he wants Omer Ravacha bar Bibi Mar Liravino. Hachli Kamashani Durava. This is what it means to say Tzara Nami Lo Itzrichka. You're right. So we'll say, look what we're holding right now. Now we're saying the Erva herself, we don't need a pasuk to exclude her from Yibam because that's obvious. Not only that, but what? We actually don't need a pasuk for what? For who? For who? For the tzara, because whatever the status of the wife is, the status of the tzara. So why do we need a pasuk? Itzrichka. Amen, please. L'mishri tzara shaloba makom mitzvah. Oh, Rabbi said, do you know when we need the pasuk? We need the pasuk to go. The pasuk actually doesn't tell us the status of the tzara by yibum because that's obvious. The pasuk comes to teach us what? The pasuk comes to teach us that in a non-yibum circumstance, the co-wife of an erva is prohibited. Is permitted. Thank you. Is mutter. So we'll say again, one more time, that this whole co-wife, this whole idea that the co-wife takes on the status of the erva wife is only a din by where?
Yibum.
Is only a din by yibum. But in other circumstances, the co-wife does not take on the erva status of wife number one, of the erva wife. So again, going back to what we said before, lemaisa, if my brother is married to my daughter and another woman, and he divorces that other woman, I am permitted to marry that other woman, right? Because again, even though she was the co-wife of my daughter, she was the co-wife of an erva, co-wife situation only become a problem in yibum, but in non-mitzvah situations, they become permitted. My taima, what's the reason? Amakra, aleha, b'mokum aleha hu da'asir. Because we'll say the pasuk by yibum says aleha, the Gzer Sheva of Aleha teaches me that what? That the Isser Erva is b'makom Alehu da'asira, shlo makom Aleha asharia. When is the Tzara prohibited? Only b'makom mitzvah, only in Yibum, but in another situation the Tzara will be permitted. Amri Rai Barcham. So we'll say this is very interesting because what we're holding right now with this is that what we've just established is the fact that both the erva and the tzara wife, the fact that they can't perform yibum with the surviving brother, I don't even need a pasuk for that. That is just intuitive halachic logic, because an asay of yibum cannot be doche a lo sa'asay of arayos that carries with it kares. So why do I need a pasuk? The pasuk actually comes to teach me that it's only b'makom mitzvah that the tzara is aser. Shalom b'makom mitzvah, the tzara will be muteris. Quite amazing. Omri Rai Barcham Rava. Ema erva gufei. Shalom b'makom mitzvah tishtri. Oh, so one second. Maybe you'll say over here, based on this, that what? That shalom b'makom mitzvah, in a non-yibum situation, perhaps all arayos should be okay. Meaning, maybe erva's only a din b'makom mitzvah, but shalom b'makom mitzvah, there's no din erva. But lav kavachomer. The Gemara says, no, that's ridiculous. Isn't that a kavachomer? We'll say if you have limitations as to who you can perform the mitzvah of Yibum with, then shalom b'makom mitzvah sharia. We'll say, again, remember, the only time that the laws of certain arayas are suspended is by Yibum. So if it's by makom mitzvah, there are only certain types of arayas that are permitted. Are you going to say that shalom b'makom mitzvah, all types of arayas are permitted? Why do you say that? Look at the co-wife. Because what does the co-wife teach us? The tzara is only prohibited when? Only prohibited when? In a yibum, in a mitzvah context. And yet, shlomo makom mitzvah sharia, in a non-mitzvah circumstance, she's absolutely permitted. So one could, as counterintuitive as it sounds, but one could make the cogent argument that maybe arayas are only a problem in makom mitzvah, but shlomo makom mitzvah should be permitted. So the Gemara says, Amalei, alecha amakra, about you, the pasuk said, or about what you're saying, the pasuk said, b'chayeha. The pasuk says again, Rabosai, Isha lachosa. When it talks about the iser of a wife's sister, it says bechayeha, kol she bechayeha. Right? It's only when what? When is the iser of achos? When is the iser of a wife's sister in effect? Only when the sister, when the wife is alive. Only when she's alive. So we'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, kol she bechayeha. So what's an important halacha? That the only time that the Isra, that's why you often you find this, it doesn't happen as often today, but it definitely happened a lot more in pre-war Europe, especially if a woman passed away young. It was not uncommon for the husband, if the wife had a sister, to go ahead and marry the sister, especially if they were young children. It was not an uncommon situation, because the Isra of a wife's sister is only when the wife is alive. Once the wife is no longer alive, again, then the prohibition on her sister is no longer there. So Mar says, one second. So one second. What are you talking about? We need that bechayeha to teach us the ikar din. That what? That the iser of achos ishto only applies when she's alive, not when she passed away. To which the Gemara says, no. Hahi may the ishal achosa nafka. So we'll say again that lemaisa. That prohibition, so I want to say, remember, let me explain the flow a little bit better. What the Gemara was suggesting over here was that Bechayah comes to teach us that the Isser of Arayos remains in effect. Essentially, you can't do Yibum. There's no Yibum situation. There's an Isser Yibum while the wife is still alive. While the wife who is already married to is still alive. To which the Gemara, and therefore what the Gemara is trying to prove from that is what? Is that Lemaisa, there is an Isser Erva, either. Sorry, let me be clear. What the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Bechayah teaches me that when the wife is alive, there is an Isra to go ahead and do Yibum. Once there's an Isra to do Yibum, what that tells me is that all Isuri Arayos apply. To which the Gemara says, but that's not what Bechayah comes to teach me. Bechayah comes to teach me the Ikra Halacha, that what? That the prohibition of one's wife's sister is only in effect when she's alive. Nothing to do with Yibum. But once the wife passes away, then her sister is permitted. To which the Gemara says, no. Hahi may the Ishal Achosa Nafka. No, you can learn that out from the phrase that you may not take a woman and her sister. The Torah explicitly says that when is the prohibition? The prohibition is only when both women are alive. But Lamaisa, if the wife passed away, there's no prohibition on her sister. Imi v'isha lachosa. But if you learn it from that phrase, ha'ava mina niskar shasharia. I would have thought, what Rabbi say, that if a man divorces his wife, then maybe Lamaisa, her sister should be permitted. Therefore, again, tamalomer bechaya. It doesn't work that way. If you divorce your wife, you still can't marry her sister. Why? Because that prohibition of marrying a wife's sister applies as long as what? As long as the wife is alive, even if what? Even if now she's an ex-wife, right? Even if now she's an ex-wife, the prohibition to marry her sister still is in effect. Kol b'shebechayeha, afagav diniskar shalo. Elo, amurafuna bar tachlif mishmei derava, trei krei ksiva. Excuse me. In reality, we have two psukim. Ksiv isha alach osalo sikach litzrar. On one hand, the pasuk says, a woman to her sister, you shall not combine them. Literally, you shall not combine them in a marital bond. Uksiv legalos ervasa. And it says, lemaisa, again, what? To uncover her nakedness. Dechad mashma. The Rabbi said, what the Gemara is picking up on over here is something very interesting. Take a look at Rashi. Treikrei ksivi. Mekar ksiv litzrar demashma lo hiv lo tzarasa. Vahadar ksiv legalos ervasa. So we'll say in the first pasuk of Isha La'achosa, the prohibition is phrased in the plural litzror, which seems to indicate to us what? that the Isser of Yibum, or the Isser of Arayos, will be on the co-wife as well. And yet, in the second pasuk, it's phrased how? In the singular. Legalo servasa. Hakeitzad, so which one is it? B'makom mitzvah. So which one is it? B'makom mitzvah shtein asuros. Suppose again, in the situation of a mitzvah at Yibum, so once there's an erva, the erva prohibits her co-wife as well. Shalom b'makom mitzvah, but again, a non-makom mitzvah, not Yibum situation. Hi asura, vitzaras mutaras. The erva is asur, but the co-wife is permitted. Epoch ana, but I could easily flip that around. B'makom mitzvah, hi asura, vitzaras mutaras. Why don't you say it like this? In the case of mitzvah, i.e. Yibum, let the erva be prohibited and her co-wife be mutaras. Shalom b'makom mitzvah, shtein asuros. But perhaps in a non-makom mitzvah, they're both be asur. Im kein lo yomer aleha. If that's the case, then don't add in the word aleha at all. The fact that it adds in the word aleha, rabosai, and remember, aleha creates that gezeirah shava. Because remember, aleha is that word by yibum. Since aleha is mentioned by achos ishto, and since aleha is mentioned by what? Is mentioned by yibum, that creates the gezeirah shava and tells us what? That b'makom mitzvah, both will be asura, but shlo b'makom mitzvah, only the erva is asur. And what? But the tzara is mutaras. Omer Rav Asher Rav Kahana. Rav Asher Rav Kahana. Mimai, dehai aleha li'isura. How do you know that the word aleha comes to teach you an iser? Dilma lehetera. Maybe it's actually coming to teach you a heter. What does that mean? V'achi kamar, this is what it means to say. Excuse me. V'achi kamar achmana. This is what the pasuk means to say. Isha alachosa lo sikach litzror lo hiva lo tzarasa. Shalom makam aleha. So we'll say, maybe I say the following, that when it comes to a woman and her sister, you may not go ahead and take them both in a marital bond, neither the sister nor the co-wife, right? Shlo makom aleha, aval makom aleha, that's what we'll say, that's in a non-makom mitzvah. However, makom aleha, in a makom mitzvah, shtehen mutaros. Perhaps again, the Torah is teaching me that by Yibum, both should be mutar. Imkein, liglos erva decha dehechi mishkachas. If that's the case again, then how do you deal with the pasuk that's phrased in the singular? Which seems to indicate that's what? That only the erva will be prohibited, but the tzara will be permitted. So which the Gemara says, Iba makom mitzvah shtehen mutaros. Because if it's a makom mitzvah, you just considered before they both should be mutar. Ishlo makom mitzvah shtehen asuros. But again, if it would be a shlo makom mitzvah, then both of them would be asuros. So we'll say what comes out from the Gemara over here is something really amazing. What comes out, lemaisa, the Gemara wants to suggest, is that essentially, we don't need a pasuk to teach us that an erva is prohibited in Yibum, or that her co-wife is prohibited in Yibum, because whatever is the status of an erva is the status of her co-wife. So when does the pasuk become necessary? The pasuk is only necessary to teach us what? That shelo b'makom mitzvah, in a non-Yibum context, the erva will be asur, but what? But the tzara will be muteres. We'll say just a few more lines. Gufa, Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, v'lakach v'lakcha v'yimim v'yimas. Rabbi picked up on the idea that what? That lemaisa, the Torah seems to have extraneous wording. Instead of saying v'lakach, it says v'lakcha. Instead of saying v'yavam, it says v'yibma. Why? Le'esor tzaros v'arayos. In order to, the extra lashon comes to prohibit who? The tzaros, the co-wives, as well as the arayos. Midi tzaros k'siva hacha. So I don't say, how do you know that? Does the Torah ever say tzaros? Torah ever discuss tzaros? But oh, furthermore, tzaros militzra nafka. That's what I'm saying. It's not true. Meaning, we go ahead and we learn out the fact that co-wives are also from where? From the word litzror. From the word that says litzror, which means a bond. Tzaros, co-wives. Litzror mafik le Rebbe lichid Reb Shimon. So I'm saying, we will see that Rebbe uses the word litzror for a drasha of Rabbi Shimon. I'm saying, so we will see Rabbi Shimon in a couple of blocks from now. I'm not going to go into it now. You could look at Rashi if you want to. Rashi brings it down. It's actually in Chaf Chesam and Beis. Rashi quotes the case of three brothers who ultimately married two sisters. I'm sorry, four. Excuse me. Actually, it's in Perek Dalet Achim, but it's three brothers who marry two sisters. I'm not going to get into that now. So the Gemara says, so therefore, Rebbe uses litzra for that drasha. Tzara hachaksiv. However, but does it say tzara over here? Hachikamer. This is what it means to say. Im kein lemakra v'lakach. My v'lakcha. So the pasuk could have just said v'lakach. Why does it say v'lakcha? Kol hecha di'ika treilikuchin comes to teach us that whenever there are two women, treilikuchin means two women to marry, di'i bayi nasiv hai, vi bayi nasiv hai, sharya. that if you want to marry this one, you want to marry that one, it is permitted. Vi'ilo tarvayu asurin. So we'll say what this comes to teach us is that the only time that Yibum is permitted is when you have the option to marry either one of the two women. But if you don't have the option to marry one of the two women, i.e. one of the women is asura to you, then what? Then Yibum is off the table. V'yavma. So what does that come to teach us? B'makom Yibum hu da'asira tzara. So V'yavma teaches us, we'll say, that when is the co-wife asur, only in B'makom Yibum, shelo B'makom Yibum, shariat tzara. But shelo B'makom Yibum, ultimately, again, the co-wife will be permitted. V'rabbanon hai v'lakha my avdile. What do the rabbis do with this v'lakha? Mi'bari lehu l'chid Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina. Dar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina Bosse is actually very interesting. V'lakha, what does it teach us of v'lakha? Melamed shemegar shabaget. Rabbi Yossi, what does v'lakha teach us? It means, Rabbi Yossi, that let's say a brother marries his sister-in-law in Yibum. Let's say it doesn't work out. He doesn't like her cooking. Right? Whatever it is. Right? Whatever it is. So what happens? How does he end the marriage? He ends the marriage with a get. The lakha teaches us that once he does Yibum, this becomes like a regular marriage in every sense, which means that the dissolution of it is governed by the laws of regular marital dissolution, i.e. a get. Umachzira. Not only that, Rabbi Yossi, but what? If he divorces her and then has a change of heart, he's permitted to remarry her. Now, of course, he's only permitted to marry her, assuming what? That she has not married someone else in the interim. V'yabma, Rabbi Yossi, this is a very dramatic. V'yabma al karcha. Rabbi Yossi, we will see that this is a fascinating halacha, which is going to be subject to much dispute. Let's say the yavam violates the yavama. He violates her. Does that violation affect yibum or not? So that's going to be a major machlokas we're going to see. Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina says it does. The Yabma, because the Yabma means literally he does Yibum to her. So Rabbi Yossi understands that even in a situation of violation, Lemaisa Yibum has been affected. All right, so we'll say, you know what? We'll stop over here for today. I apologize, I know it was a little bit fast. Emir Tzashem, the schedule for Chalamayid is we're going to do Shacharis, 6:30, and we're going to do the daf in Mirat Hashem afterwards. I'm hoping it works for people. I think that's what we did last year? All right, so we're going to give it a try. Mirat Hashem, Yaakov Moshe is going to be giving the daf tomorrow, but I will, Mirat Hashem, be back on Tuesday. And again, Hoshana Rabbah, you know, we begin davening at 6 o'clock in the morning. Right. So what do we say? 7:45 is what we said, but it'll probably be a little bit more like 8:15. We will have a Mir Tashem. There'll be breakfast on our Shana Rabbah. Shkach Abosai.